following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, hello there, Refuge family. It's Thursday. It's the 28th of May. Hard to believe, almost at the close of this month. And it's fireside chat time because it's still coronavirus time, lockdown time. So timely word, ideally, that's the objective. To encourage you with God's word, and we'll do that again until the lockdown is over, and continue to provide what we hope, again, as I said, is encouragement to you. Quick announcement before we move on. We are still needing to use a reservation system for, it sounds so weird, and we apologize, but an RSVP format for weekend services and our Wednesday night midweek Bible study. And the reason being is we're only able to have so many seats inside the building. Now, we're probably going to have some area in the courtyard as well, but limited to inside the building of 100 seats per service. And so in light of that, the only way really to keep you from driving here for nothing, walking from the parking structure, coming to the front door and being told, oh, you know, we're already filled, is to do this format. And if you have problems with it, it's, by the way, it's refugefamily.com/RSVP, lowercase, or just go on the website and you'll follow the lead to that. If you're having problems with that, just call the church office. We'll help you through that. If you'd say, I don't have a computer, I can't, we'll help you through it. We'll print out your confirmation for you. So we'll make it real simple. But that's the reason why we're doing it. Lots of information is asked for on that. People say, well, why all the information? Is the government making? No, it has nothing to do with the government. It's for you. It's to serve you. It's to bless you. It's to also get us information so we could get to you info like having services on the weekend. Last night, I was talking to the sweet sister here, Dina, and she didn't know about this past weekend services. Had we had this information, because she RSVP'd for last night, now she'll get an email and notification about this weekend services. So reasons like that are why we're doing that, so that we can bless you and we can help you. Nothing to do with getting data for the government or selling it to whoever, even a Christian organization, so they could spam you for different things. That's not what's going on. So let me set down the Psalm 46 cup and ask you this question. A strange question, perhaps. What is your nickname? Not personally real big on nicknames per se, but you'll get the gist of it here in a moment when I say, what is your nickname? Because a nickname, in a lot of ways, is likely to be the moniker of your legacy. And again, not that you need a literal nickname for that to happen, but we get the sense of this in Acts chapter 4, interestingly enough. In Acts 4, in the latter part of the chapter, we read about the early church and the folks selling property and different things to try to help out those in need and to help support the work of the church there in Jerusalem. And then when you get to verse 36, we read this. Speaking of people that were doing that were helping out and selling stuff, and for instance, as verse 36 says, there was a Joseph, somebody named Joseph, the one whom the apostles nicknamed Barnabas. They nicknamed him Barnabas, which means, and the scripture tells us, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. And so Joseph, or as his actual name, his given name was, nicknamed Barnabas, you've probably heard of him. He was Paul's trusted co-laborer in the mission field, which wouldn't come for a few years after what we're reading here in Acts 4. But Joseph, or Barnabas, was known for encouraging others, and he was given a nickname for it, son of encouragement, one who just seems to be always encouraging others. And definitely that would be the case with Paul. We read later in Scripture that Barnabas was really instrumental in encouraging Paul to pursue this calling in his life to minister and to be the apostle of grace, and also all of which you read about in the latter chapters of Acts. But this attribute of encouragement is an attribute of Jesus. It happens to be displayed kind of spotlighted, something that was a strong attribute inside Barnabas, and really shine through him and shine through in crisis moments. COVID-19 lockdowns, a crisis moment. And that attribute of Jesus in Barnabas, or Joseph, it shined through in crisis moments, such as the early days of the church and the persecution and famine and such, coming alongside a recently converted but fully repentant terrorist of sorts, as Saul of Tarsus, who we know as Paul, who was that. He terrorized the early church. And so Barnabas was one that, in that crisis moment, was able to encourage this new believer in Messiah, Mashiach, Yeshua, into what God had for him. So a godly attribute like that, an encouragement, and so many others, when it's there in a crisis moment, it's likely because it's deeply embedded in your character. So today, we still know of Barnabas, right? A couple thousand years later, we know of this. We know of him being an encourager. We know the account in Acts 4. Hey, you got a nickname, Son of Encouragement. And we have those. We have in Refuge, we have those that we haven't officially named. Just for me personally, I think of, because in my sphere of influence, and we all have different spheres of influence and pockets of people we intermingle with and talk with and such inside and outside these walls. But people here in Refuge, that when I think of a Barnabas, when I think of a Son of Encouragement, I think of them. I think of Brad DeHaan. He's always been that for me. Lenny Okerstrom as well would be like a Barnabas, a Son of Encouragement. His wife Linda would have her own moniker, right? Hers perhaps would be the attribute of gladness. She's a purveyor of gladness because it's constant. It's something that's just always there. Which isn't to say there are not other attributes, but that's just one in particular that always shines through her, even in crisis moments. So we could give her the nickname of Gladys, gladness, Gladys night or day. Okay, maybe not. Here's a moniker, a nickname for Billy Graham, and not stadium evangelist, but one that Zoe stuck with me. Again, just personal observation on my part. Hearing stories about Billy Graham and thinking of him really as Mr. Integrity, and here's why. I remember years ago, decades ago, hearing Pastor Mike McIntosh down from Horizon Fellowship in San Diego speak of times that he had done some travel, not a lot, not extensive, but some travel with Billy Graham, and he mentioned that. I'm pretty sure it might have been Greg Laurie. Either way, here's the story: that they noticed that Billy Graham bought his suits at Sears. I don't even know if Sears is around anymore, but that would be like going to one step below May Company, maybe. But here's this internationally renowned and sold many a book guy that certainly could have afforded more than at the time maybe $100 suit at Sears, but that was just important to him. He didn't want people thinking, well, look at this. You know, this guy takes that money from, and he buys these expensive, you know, $5,000 Italian suits. He said, nah, I'm not going to do that. And so that's what he would do, just buy the generic suit off the rack. And then another crisis moment, if you will, that really made his nickname stick for me was, I remember hearing that he was going to be on a particular talk show, and you wouldn't know the name because it's so many decades ago, the Merv Griffin show, but it would be in prominence level, kind of like Jimmy Fallon show, right? Kind of that variety live show, and his crisis, Billy's crisis, he was kind of put in the spot, and so he came out, and, you know, well, let's welcome, you know, our special guest today, you know, Billy Graham, and so the audience, you know, does their, you know, some of which probably know him and love him, and they clapped, and others just given the courtesy clap because the cards and the prompts say, hey, clap and cheer, as happens in those live shows. And so the first thing the host says to Billy Graham, you've got a special gift, and, you know, which could feed the ego there. Why don't you look out at our audience here and point out all the sinners to me, Billy. And the audience laughed. Ho, 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 ho. You know, that's so funny. And just that man of integrity, it seized the moment, didn't let any of that go to his head, didn't let it upset him or go to his head. You know, you got this special gift or whatever. he just said, you know, the Bible says that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. And he said it so pleasantly, but there was such integrity there and how he just seized that moment and didn't let it bother him or feed his ego or upset him because maybe it was cynical. And so, Mr. Integrity. So the question then, what will be the nickname or the moniker of your legacy, especially in crisis moments like COVID-19? And again, it's not that you need a literal nickname. I'm not even a proponent of that necessarily. But in that figurative sense, what would it be? Would it be a Barnabas, like a son or daughter of encouragement, or purveyor of gladness, Gladys Knight or Day, Mr. Integrity? What would it be? Think about your attitude. I think about my attitude these past weeks since the lockdown began in mid-March. And then ask yourself, as I've been doing as well, has it contradicted the attributes of Jesus? Has there been a contradiction like, that doesn't really line up? Would worrywart be more accurate than the nickname Joy or Faith, right? Or Barnabas? Would sower of discord be more likely a moniker than unifier? We'll call that Eunice. Would the nickname lovely be appropriate or grumpy be appropriate? And on you could go with that kind of introspection. And so this crisis that we're in, which obviously things are leveling out, which is great, answered prayer, right? In terms of the few that are the fewer than we thought are getting sick and dying and the economy getting back in the swing, answered prayer for sure. But during this time, the Lord has redeemed so much, and a lot of our chats have been talking about that in so many different ways, for sure, that God has done that. This is what he does, right? He redeems every kind of human mess there is. But certainly, he's revealed deep things in our hearts, that's for sure. Not just the politicians' hearts, our own hearts, right? The Lord is revealed a lot. So if you don't like what you see revealed in you, or maybe more importantly, the Lord wouldn't like what's been revealed in you, don't condemn yourself. That's always the default of the enemy in such times of introspection, is self-condemnation. And so don't buy into that, but just take that to the Lord and say, Lord, please change me. Change me. Yeah, that individual and that official, and they need changing. Yeah, granted, but Lord, change me. Please make my legacy one that reveals your attributes, right? And he'll do that. He'll work in your heart because he's able. He's the one, as Philippians says, chapter 2, verse 13. It's God who works in us both to will and to do those things that please him. Or as I jotted this down, as the NLT renders it, for God is working, because it's ongoing, right? God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He's working in you. He's working in me. And giving, he's gracing us. And not saying, well, Alan, I think maybe you've earned this. No, he's giving you the desire and the power, giving me the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So let's do that. Let's let him fine-tune our nickname, or change it for that matter. Let's let the fragrance of Christ, as Paul speaks of that in that manner, let that fill the rooms that we enter and that we exit. Let's let the lingering memory of us be attributes like encouragement, like compassion, like a heart for the lost and the downtrodden, like gladness, all those things seen in Jesus, all those attributes seen in Jesus. Let the lingering memory of us be those things, especially during this time, as people, and we will reflect on this time for sure as months and years go by. Attributes like that point to and honor our Lord and Savior Jesus, right? Those are attributes that do that. They point to him and they honor him, and he wants those to be seen in us, and it can be that way. It doesn't matter who you are or your background or your personality type or in what have you. Those attributes, the Lord will bring certain ones of those just to light, to shine forth in you so that people see Jesus in you and me and all of us. And maybe not the complete picture just in me and just in you, but all of us collectively as the body of Christ, people will see those attributes, even in times of crisis. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that you are committed to that project, Lord, that ongoing project, that unending project of working those things into us, those attributes of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Lord, we desire that because first, it'll please you. And secondly, Lord, it'll draw others to you. Others will take notice of you, give us an opportunity to brag on you and talk about you. And then, Lord, just because it's your way, we're going to be blessed because of it as well. It's just the way you work. It's just the economy of heaven. So, Lord, thank you. And Lord, please do that. Please continue that working in us, both to will and do those things that please you and draw others to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.